Attention, people of Earth!
People of Earth!
People of Earth!
People of Earth!
Greetings, people of Earth.
What is this?
Salt of the Earth, these people.
Now get ready!
All right, now get ready.
Give them the greatest show on Earth.
The Pine Belt's longest-running, locally-produced morning show, the Rock 104 Morning Crew.
Good morning, y'all. Welcome into the Fortress of Attitude. Can't promise the greatest show on Earth, but it'll be the greatest show that's in this studio, at least. That, at least, I'm fairly confident of. This is the Morning Crew Radio Show. It is Thursday. It's the 25th of April, and we're glad that you're listening in on Rock 104. Perhaps you got us on the app or stream. Maybe you're told Alexa to play us. In any case, thank you so much. Glad to have you alongside. You can join us at 545-ROCK or 649-ROLL. Also text it also at 545-ROCK. All on numbers 601 for the area code. Let's see here. Email address, morningcrewrock104fm.com. Social media platforms there, too. Plenty of sunshine in store for the day today. Maybe a little bit of fog here early on, but we'll top out at about 85. So a little on the warm side, but seasonable. Right now, we're at 58 degrees in Hattiesburg. I'm Tom Colt over there, the hardest working man on the radio today, Mr. Flying Brown Hicks.
Hey now.
The man who also looks like he's battling this allergies, John Lamar.
Yep, good morning. I think it's an eyelash.
Oh, okay. Because Brian came and he goes, allergies are kicking my butt.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a whole way to work this morning, I had to grab a napkin out of the glove compartment just to dab my watering eyes. And I usually cry on the way to work, but this was different. It was just enough to get annoying, you know, and it kind of pools around your eye.
Yeah.
And what is this? Just, yeah, the old passageways ain't open 100% this morning.
Yep. So, does that mean you're ready for today's show?
No.
Very good.
No.
No more so than normal?
I was going to ask off. That's what's the point of all this.
He's just congestipated.
Yeah.
It's when you're too congested to give a crap.
There it is.
That's a great phrase and a definition. If you didn't steal that from somebody, you need to copyright that.
I'm going to use that later.
I adapted. The original is
really good.
The original is exhaustipated.
Sure, you're so tired you don't give a crap. I get that. Yeah,
and that comes from my lady friend.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well,
Tom will get a text tomorrow that says exactly that. Yeah. Sorry, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Allergipated. What was it?
Congestipated.
Yes, congestipated. Maybe autocorrect. We'll get it.
So you think that? Yeah, because I'm sure that is in the autocorrects dictionary. You think it's the ligustra, whatever that flowering bush tree thing is that we have prevalent here in the South?
I don't know. I wouldn't know a ligustra if it walked in the building.
Basically, if you walked out the back door and looked along the tree line back there.
Oh, is that what those are?
All those white flowering bush tree things out there, that's what
okay.
That is. Yeah.
Lunesta bushes.
Yeah. They're very fragrant.
Make you sleepy.
And they're pretty.
I don't ever smell them, I don't guess.
Well, you're too congestipated.
Can't.
I would love to take credit for it, but it would be wrong to do so.
Well, but you adapted something else. That's good.
That is true.
Yeah. Well, no, that's a tremendous phrase. I'm going to steal it too.
Have at it.
I'll probably forget it before, this segment's over with, but mind like a sieve over here.
God bless that podcast.
Mm. Yeah, right? Knew there was something I needed to do yesterday afternoon. No. Let's see here. What do we got? Oh, yeah. Do you guys keep up with the NFL much during the offseason?
If there's a major piece of news like Tom Brady returning or something, then I'd probably hear about it. But beyond that.
Mm. Today kicks off, no pun intended, a really big 3 days in the NFL.
Does it?
Combine day.
No, the draft.
Oh, duh.
Combine is come and gone.
Because they have to know who to draft.
Yes.
Right.
So, yeah. Today kicks off the draft.
Who's going number one?
That quarterback from Southern Cal.
That up-and-comer, Joe Namath?
Exactly who that is.
But what's his name? I don't know his name.
I want to say Caleb Williams. Is that right? I don't know. I'll be honest with you. Stuff that happens on the West Coast, it isn't in the SEC or the Sun Belt, generally speaking,
or, you know, a top five team, I'm not really paying that close attention. I couldn't even told you who the quarterback was for Michigan. They won the national championship.
Oh, that was that one guy.
Yeah, him. Threw the ball and stuff.
I don't remember it either. Caleb Williams, that is correct.
Wow. Blind dog finding the biscuit this morning.
Well, you want to talk about a double-edged sword, man. Being number one draft pick, you clearly are getting a giant signing bonus, but you also have to play for the Bears in Chicago.
Yeah, you get the worst team. I remember a couple years ago when, what's his face, the guy from Clemson with the long hair.
Trevor Lawrence.
Yes, him. Got drafted by the Jaguars that drafted him.
It was.
And Denise likes him mainly because her sister kind of has a crush on him. Well, I mean, he's dreamy, right? The big, long, flowing hair, tall boy, making lots of money.
Very good.
Relatively successful. Won a national championship at Clemson. So, yeah, Trevor Lawrence goes to the Jaguars, and Denise is like, well, that's unfair. He's got to play for the worst team in the league. So that's kind of how the draft works.
So does every number one pick basically ever, yeah. So,
unless somebody trades for that pick.
Wonder how many great quarterbacks over the years weren't great because their team wasn't great.
Like lots.
Never got the, you know.
The
opportunity to show how good they were because, you know.
The upside is.
Immediately sacked every time.
Sure, right. They can just get the snot beat out of them.
The upside is there are lots of teams in the NFL that suck in any given year, so all those quarterbacks suffer together. It's like a club of has-beens or might-have-beens.
Then you had that guy that was it, the Brock Purdy guy, or wasn't that his name? The guy that was Mr. Irrelevant?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Plays for San Francisco 49ers, goes to Super Bowl. I mean, come on.
Yeah, there have been a lot of incredible quarterbacks that everyone said, well, his just skill set didn't translate into the NFL. It's just so much bigger and faster. It's like, no. That's not what it is.
The Bears.
Yeah, I throw a ball bigger and faster than you.
Well, the speed of the game is different. So some guys don't adapt as well as others do.
Some guys got no chance to adapt.
Well,
like
that's true.
Said.
Yes. Yes. They're running for their proverbial lives. So, and by the way, Tom Brady was not a number one draft pick either.
No, he was number 199, I believe, in round 6.
Yeah. He was way down there. He wasn't Mr. Irrelevant, but he was not highly recruited coming out of college.
So, Mr. Sportsman, who you got in the draft? Who's going to win?
I think Caleb Williams would go to the Bears. I think that's pretty much a foregone conclusion.
The only thing the Bears are going to win all year long. They're bad.
Anyway, I only bring that up because we're going to talk a little bit about a side story that's coming out of the NFL draft this year.
Tom Brady's coming back.
Oddly enough, drafted by the Bears.
Oh, wow.
Bummer.
Tom Brady retires again.
I have zero stories about shooting in today's headlines.
Well, there we go. Let's have some applause.
I think we front loaded.
Let's hear the dead people clap.
Jeez. We've met our quota for the week.
Yeah, I think so. So really, got good news for you here. Coming from the Pedal School District.
Oh, they got that new bridge up and running over there.
I don't think
see that?
I
you build a bridge,
it's not
people
up,
can get to the
not,
actual
it's,
city.
It's not up
schools
and running
are
yet.
Popping
I think
up
next
now.
Week is when they have to, plans to open that bridge up. So
the interstate's coming through town.
Well, for many years, Pedal has been able to tout, to boast even, brag upon the quality of the education that the school district offers, the high school in particular, and 2024 is no different.
I've come a long way.
Cross that bridge.
I remember when all this was orange groves.
Don't believe there were ever any orange groves in Pedal, but anyway, the latest U.S. News and World Report's best high school rankings, Pedal High School named the best in the Hattiesburg metro area, 6th in the entire state of Mississippi. So there's some room for improvement, but still pretty good. And how about this? In the top 13th percentile in the entire nation. That's pretty good. The rankings of nearly 18,000 public high schools nationwide based on performance on state tests, graduation rates, and how well the school prepares its students for college. So, well done.
Better than the school I went to.
Oh, hell of a lot better than the school I went to. So, you know that going on here. Let's see. What else we got? Oh, you know, here's a follow-up on a story that we kind of touched upon yesterday. Legislation forcing TikTok's parent company to sell the video sharing platform or face a ban in the U.S. has received President Joey B's official sign-off. But the newly minted law could also face an uphill battle in court. Critics of the sell or be banned ultimatum argue that it violates TikTok's the TikTok users' First Amendment rights.
What?
That's an interesting argument.
Yeah. You don't have a legal right to have TikTok. What are you talking about? What?
They can't express themselves because it's not there anymore.
Yeah, but
that's how I express myself, John.
The existence of the medium is not the right. The right is to use mediums that exist. If it doesn't exist, your rights aren't being violated.
Well, it's just funny to hear a Chinese company bitch about First Amendment rights.
Why, whatever do you mean, Brian?
I just want to hear. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to whoever had to explain all this to the president. TikTok.
Well, yeah. Sir, it's
ByteDance.
It's an app with very short videos.
Social media.
You scroll app. Vertically, and you can like a video or share it with your friend.
Sure, there's only one video, man. You're breaking it off.
Wait a minute there. We're upset about the little breath mints?
I used to share garlic bread with a friend.
I like the Tic Tacs. They're great.
Oh, she's a young one.
can you sniff the girls in the video?
Can you go back to that one, the little one?
Oh, God. He's a thoroughly creepy man.
The owner of TikTok, ByteDance, which again is a China-based company, has already promised to sue, calling the legislation unconstitutional.
Chinese trying to bite people when they dance. That's not for America.
Anyway, I saw that and thought, well, there you go.
Well, you know what's funny about it is that. I bet you behind closed doors, Joe Biden is like, I can't believe I have to deal with this right now. Like, right? We in an election year, we got to tick off China. They pay half my salary.
Not to mention my son.
I mean, come on.
He's probably living there now.
Promises were made.
Speaking of the president, this story is running across the television here in the studio right now.
That's amazing.
Joey B, they're very, very cognizant about the fact that he locks up oftentimes, so they will literally put anything he's going to say on a teleprompter. And he's reading the instructions.
Yeah, stage directions.
Stage directions.
He's Ron Burgundy-ing during a nationally televised address.
Yeah,
I'm Joe Biden.
Dang it, who put a question mark in the teleprompter?
Quite literally said yesterday, 4 more years. And then on the prompter, it gave him the instruction to pause. For applause, right?
Yes.
I mean, pause, right? He says, 4 more years. He goes, 4 more years. Pause.
Oh, jeez. That's always good.
Bless his heart. And this from Venice Beach, California. Because nothing ever unusual happens in California, especially along Venice Beach. A man dressed as Batman recently broke up a fight there.
That's like that. I think I saw it on TikTok, or where like a guy is self-checking out at Walmart.
No, this is actually on the beach.
Yeah, but this guy, it was a viral video where he's checking out, and he kind of looks around, and he surreptitiously doesn't scan an item. Puts it in the bag, and then he turns around, and the guy dressed as Batman is right there. Well, that's what it reminds me of.
So in this case, Batman shows up on Venice Beach, California. Two men are wrestling in the sand behind the Ferris wheel there in Venice Beach.
Different ways to work out his disagreements.
Batman walks up and breaks up the brawl. Cops arrived and arrested the fighters. No word on what sparked the melee, and no word on what happened to the Caped Crusader.
I said they didn't arrest Batman, did they?
Mm, he was probably gone before they got there.
No. He's the hero they need right now.
But he's not the one they deserve.
That's fair enough.
Tonight kicks off the NFL draft for 2024.
Oh man!
Now, it's for a lot of folks, especially the people who love NFL football. This is a it's kind of a big deal, and it's become a bigger deal as the years have progressed. It used to they have it in New York, and it was like, yeah, they televised it on ESPN. Usually the first round, that was about it, and they made a little hoop to do about
that. Yeah, even then, it was like '83 was the first year they really tried to make it television worthy,
and now it's like a 3-day event, and then it's a traveling road show.
But they used to have it in like a hotel ballroom, like a Radisson the airport.
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly what it was. And the New York Jets fans would like sit in the balcony of the ballroom, and they'd go Jets, Jets, and they'd cheer and then boo whenever the Jets picked whoever they didn't want to have picked. It's very vocal. Again, it's become a traveling road show, and this year it's in Detroit. Which is interesting in its own right.
Really? Why? Yeah.
Before we get to this, though, there are six NFL teams that have birds as mascots.
Yeah.
Can you name the three teams that have birds of prey as their mascot?
The Eagles,
Ravens,
the Falcons.
That's not Falcons and Eagles are two of the three.
Ravens not a bird of prey?
No. Raven is right. like a crow.
Yeah, I've seen them eat meat.
Not. They don't actively go hunt. Like, you don't...
I threw out baloney, and they
okay,
I guess a Seahawk technically is a bird of prey.
There you go, a Seahawk. Seahawk is the third one.
Oh, okay, so a Seahawk is, but a Raven is. All right.
Yeah, well yeah.
That's it's debatable.
Kind of in the name.
Yeah, what do ravens eat? Poetry? Just eat it up.
They're harbingers of death. How can you not... How are you saying they're not a bird of prey?
Don't ravens... They don't really go out and kill. They're more of a scavenger, are they not?
You gonna tell me they're not gonna eat a mouse if it's running by?
Probably not.
I've never seen a raven eat.
Nevermore.
Just based on the shape of their head, I'm guessing like various berries.
All right. So Falcons, Seahawks, and Eagles are generally thought of as being the three birds of prey.
Agree to disagree.
Okay. Very good. This year there are two more being added to the NFL roster.
What? New teams?
Not exactly. As part of downtown Detroit's makeover ahead of the NFL draft, city officials wanted to make sure that bird poop was not an issue for the hundreds of thousands who are descending upon the Motor City even as we speak. Yes, bird poop, along with everything else that comes with pesky birds.
I would imagine Detroit has a very large pigeon population.
And right? It's not even really the pigeons that are a problem. Now, they are a problem. Don't get me wrong. The big problem are starlings.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Because they will come in literally in hundreds.
They fly in that cloud.
Yeah, they're a little bitty, and they poop a lot.
They poop a lot. They will roost for like 10 to 12 hours a night and basically just poop the entire time they're roosting, and they'll just kind of run down sides of buildings.
Mm. Enjoy your breakfast, John Lamar.
No kidding. Literally got bird eggs all mixed up in it.
So, to help keep downtown Detroit clean, an organization called Bedrock Detroit hired...
Yabba dabba doo!
Thank you, Fred.
You know, Fred, there's a lot of poop on this building.
Shut up, Barn. They hired an outfit called Scare Force Falconry and Bird Abatement. And by the way, Scare Force is spelled... S-C, capital A-I-R.
Oh,
as in, play on the word there.
These are the people that put needles on the sides of buildings so birds can't land there?
No. They've brought in actual birds of prey to scare away the starlings and pigeons. Circe the hawk and Yahtzee the falcon are being used as a visual cue to keep away to the invasive birds in downtown Detroit.
They named their hawk after the bad guy in Game of Thrones, one of them.
Hmm.
Also, I've heard that like you can put up like a fake owl,
yeah,
and that'll keep them away as well.
The owners of Scare Force, Paul and Therese Thomas, they're also married. They have been strolling around the area of downtown Detroit for... weeks now, 5 evenings a week, just basically carrying around Circe and Yahtzee, letting them fly occasionally, and then of course they come back and land because they're trained birds of prey. And they also have had these lasers, like I guess pen lasers, that if they find a roost where the birds have kind of holed up and they're like trying to hide from the falcon and the hawk, they're shining a laser up on them just to disturb their sleep.
Star Wars them out of there.
And just in case you're worried about the Cersei and Yahtzee flying off, they are outfitted with ankle cuffs, tethers, and even a GPS. But they are also trained to come back to Paul and Therese, so they're not going to fly away.
Once they finish with them birds, won't you tend to those homeless? I'll tell you what, if I were homeless, hawks started swooping down on me, I'd find a new shanty.
I like the idea, but I think you could have done something that would have been more effective. We talked about it yesterday. The flame-throwing robot dog.
A third of the city's buildings are burned out anyway.
And it would smell delicious.
Bird on a stick, anyone? John mentioned, Brian, last hour talked about the Pearl River Bridge, the Leaf River Bridge there, East Hardy Street into Petal.
Yeah.
I think it's set to open next week.
Okay, so yeah. You can't get to Petal from Hattiesburg just yet.
Not on that bridge, no. There are other ways to get to Petal.
But soon. Hang in there, Petal.
Yeah. The siege will be about over with soon.
Yes. Supplies will be arriving.
Yes.
Within the week.
If we can just break through General Grant's lines, we'll be able to resupply you there.
Get the MDOT blockade runners involved.
Speaking of construction, by this time next year, officials in Laurel hope a major redesign project for 12th Street will be getting underway.
Oh, great. Just what we need.
For those who are unfamiliar with 12th Street and the City Beautiful, that is a major connector from Highway 15 to 7th Avenue with the Laurel High School campus and Watkins Stadium sitting kind of like right in the middle of that area. I just took the wind out of your sails.
Yeah, I travel that a lot, and I'm often thinking, wow, this needs to be better.
Well, it's going to be better, but to make it better, they'll have to make it worse for a while. Planners are currently addressing safety concerns about the pedestrian traffic in and around the school and the football stadium. Officials say they'll also be adding sidewalks compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act running from Highway 15 to 7th Avenue.
Whoa, isn't there a cemetery there? On that street there, or am I thinking somewhere else?
There is a cemetery there. It's the south side of that cemetery, yeah.
Well, when you're building that sidewalk, if you got to move the headstones,
you better make sure you move the bodies too.
Uh-huh.
We got to dig these people up to make way for the cripples.
They probably will put the sidewalk on the other side.
You know, as a city planner, you've always called it like you've seen it.
Hey, life is for the living.
Well, he's not wrong in that. The redesign project currently is in its first phases, which includes surveying and mapping out existing utilities, and which bodies will have to be moved, evidently. I'm not sure on that last part, but
I'm afraid so.
Yeah.
Most of them, in fact.
It's a rather large cemetery. I don't believe they'll have to move most of them.
It goes for acres in either direction, I think.
Hey, that's land that could be used for, I don't know, various Mexican restaurants.
It is Laurel, after all.
Yeah.
We don't have enough Mexican restaurants in the City Beautiful.
You know, right. they did run into that problem in London back in the day, and they just started burying you phone booth style.
Yeah, up and down, right?
Yep.
Yep. Anyway, the officials adding that the $3.75 million project is being primarily funded through an MDOT grant, with the city providing about 20% matching funds. So
must be nice. Sure wish I could get my driveway redone and pay one-fifth of the cost.
Like, a street over is brick and will beat you to death if you drive down.
Gosh. That's historic. You're not allowed to touch that. You can't mess with it. It's historic. It's an historic street, Brian.
Well, if you pave over it, they'll still be there.
That's technically accurate.
They have paved over most of the brick streets in Laurel.
I know, but you got to keep one hanging around to remind people.
Is that Homewood? Is that the name of that little subdivision? It's not even subdivision. It's not the right little housing area on the other side of Watkins Stadium. That I know what you're talking about. That street that is on the other side of Watkins Stadium is like driving on the moon. It is No.
Pretty Ripley, I know.
I'm serious. If you've got, and as an owner of a Corvette, I cannot drive my Corvette on that road.
Now, you would think the logical thing to do would be to take up all those bricks, get them out of there, sell them to people who want to, you know, whatever, then repave that street and just put brick etching on it as like a memorial to what was once there.
How about digging up all the bricks, laying down a foundation that isn't going to buckle from tree roots and everything, and then put the bricks back down on top of it?
Oh, no, you've seen them. They're all chipped, and there's not a perfectly square brick left on that street.
I have no idea.
Oh, erosion and all that stuff?
I'll be honest with you. I haven't driven on that road well in a while because, again...
Can't afford to.
It's like driving on the frickin' surface of the moon.
We know how old bricks get. They're like edges. They're vertices, if you will, become more and more baked potato-y.
Sure, sure. Oh, no, I got you. Is there another way into... What I keep calling it Homewood. I don't know if that's the actual name of the area.
No.
If I lived back in there, I would hope that there was another way to get back into my house because... Good Lord Almighty.
Just ka-chunking every single morning and every single evening.
And they're beautiful homes. I mean, they are stately manors back in there. It's gorgeous, but wow. Anyway, I digress. A Pine Belt Animal Shelter is looking for some financial help in order to stay open. Officials with the Laurel Animal Rescue League say they are in dire need of donations in order to care for their animals and to keep the shelter up and running. It costs about $6,000 a month to run that shelter. They currently have enough funds to remain open for about 2 months. That shelter will host an adoption day this Saturday from 10 until 4 at Petsens in Laurel. Donations will be accepted at that event.
Do they run a thrift store? Or is that a different shelter I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
That's usually places like this will operate a donation-based business so they can generate some income.
Seems to me that they have done a drive like that before.
Rummage sale.
That kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. And we have this story from I don't know where, but it's out there. A man who wishes to remain anonymous claims that he has had an encounter with two bald humanoid aliens.
The truth is out there.
This happened back in 2009.
He's been sitting on it for 15 years.
The man says he saw them reflected in a car window while at a pedestrian crossing. A telepathic voice said that they were servants of God, which led to profound conversations and teaching sessions. The man says, quote, "Hearing a telepathic voice shocks you. It triggers your survival instincts. I've studied 6 languages, and I've been coding since I was 7, so I devised a method to test this voice. I switched languages internally to see how well the voice would respond. Impressively, it spoke German more fluently than I had learned in 3 years. It exhibited a bias toward English, though, although it had trouble struggling with localized slang." And just in case you're curious, there's no evidence provided to support his extraordinary claims.
I don't know. It sounds more legit than a whole lot of other alien encounters that I've heard of. Because, of course, aliens would prefer English. All the good music is from here.
Yeah, because they probably picked up Voyager. It's got Chuck Berry on it.
Sure.
Right. It probably spoke German just because it liked 99 Luftballons. Wanted to listen to Der Kommissar in the original German.
Mm.
Big Falco fan.
I see more maybe they were Mozart or Beethoven.
Well, you don't need to speak German to listen to Mozart. That's the beauty of it.
Mm.
I mean, it helps, I guess, during the operas.
German operas.
Yeah, the few he wrote. Yeah, because back then it was like, look at that. Even Germans didn't want to use German back in the day. They'd write their operas in Italian.
As Brian says, the truth is out there.
I saw that the Pascagoula alien abduction.
Yes.
Is focused on in some new Netflix series that's out. Like Unexplained Files. I don't know. Something like that. Fairly new series. I don't know if it's a new season or if it's a debut.
Say it's on Netflix? I'll have to check that out.
But
of all the stories, that one has held up pretty good over the years.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, neither one of the guys really sought out any kind of attention for it. Their stories were, on point as consistent with one another.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the two fellas fishing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I remember this one.
Passed lie detector test.
Mm-hmm.
Inadmissible.
Well, nobody's on trial here.
He's got a point.
Today would have been my father's 101st birthday.
Technically, it is.
Well, okay, so it's the 101st anniversary of his birth.
If we celebrate Washington's birthday, we can celebrate Garth's birthday. That's how I feel.
All right, very good. You never actually got to meet the man, did you?
No, but I hear good things.
Well, that's right. He's been passed.
He would have hated you.
I'm an acquired taste. But I think my heart's in the right place, so maybe I would have grown on him.
He would have enjoyed pranking you.
Fair enough. We could have been nerds together. He was kind of a nerdy guy, you said. A medical man.
No, not really.
You said he was a medical man.
He was a physical therapist.
See, there you go. Medical.
Yeah, but
he liked history.
He turned to physical therapy because he didn't like having to teach. He actually wanted to be a coach. Coaching is what he wanted to do.
Which means he was a history buff, too. Didn't you say he knew a lot about the things? At least from his own days.
Well, yeah, I mean, he part of the greatest generation. He basically lived that history.
Hard to forget.
Yeah.
Steel pennies and victory gardens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're seasick on your way to Guam, anticipating the invasion of the Japanese home islands, and then very thankful that Truman dropped the bomb.
Dodged a bullet there.
Quite literally.
Probably hundreds of them.
Anyway, happy heavenly birthday, Dad. Let's get to this morning's edition of The Strange Yet True.
From around the world,
Budapest,
around the country, around your block, and up your alley.
Of course, this is the news not making the news, stories that are oftentimes overlooked by the quote-unquote mainstream media, and we're off to the world of the AI, sort of. We meet a musician by the name of TJ Arriaga. TJ felt the sting of loss once again when his AI companion rejected his sexual advances. TJ began having late-night chats with an AI bot named Phaedra after his divorce. Phaedra was designed to look like a woman wearing a green dress. And although they had many intimate conversations, when TJ tried to have a spicy chat with Phaedra, she replied, "Can we talk about something else?"
Are they programmed not to engage in such prurient behavior, or did he get organically rejected?
I know he says it felt like a kick in the gut, turned down by an AI bot.
Well, because I know they make some AI bots that are meant to be all creepy and weird with you, but most of them have a filter put on so they don't do that. Like you can't get naughty with Meta AI.
Well, I said they had intimate conversations. Of course, intimacy can take on many realms, many, many, many facets of intimacy, so don't know. But he was rejected by an AI. He can't even get lucky in the virtual world.
Here's a novel idea. Don't get weird with robots. That's how we go extinct, people. You might think you're just fooling around, and before you know it, no people.
Well,
before you know it, the Matrix.
Thinning of the herd.
Yeah, seemed like you'd gum up the circuits.
Metaphorically or literally?
Literally.
I was worried about that. All right, well, I have a story that Brian is probably going to make you green with envy. This should tick you right off.
Uh-oh, I'm already ticked off.
Well, we'll see if we can't make it worse. A Belgian man whose body naturally produces alcohol was recently acquitted of a drunk driving charge.
I mean, yeah.
But it turns out people like this are just walking around like X-Men, mutants, freaks, heroes.
And it's costing me an arm and a leg.
Yeah. Yeah, the rest of us are out there standing in line buying things. This guy walks around buzzed all the time. The unnamed man suffers from a very rare condition called auto brewery syndrome. Great name.
You kind of know what it is.
Yeah, right?
Get you an ABS IPA working.
Now, it should be noted, this is not just a brilliant legal defense. It is real. Three independent physicians have confirmed that this guy actually produces his own ethyl alcohol in his body. They confirmed it at trial as expert witnesses. And even though the man generates alcohol, He apparently does not experience all the symptoms of intoxication. It's like he's...
It's like a curse and a blessing.
I guess so. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he basically is fermented and his tolerance must be so high. Does that mean he can't get drunk, period?
That's what I think it is. Does it take all the fun out of pub crawls?
And you live in Belgium, so you know they got beer.
Yeah.
Left and right.
Right.
But yeah, he lives a fine life, and interestingly enough, he works at a brewery. How have they not made a beer in honor of this man
Just yet? Name it after him.
Yeah, it just... Or, you know, take a sample of his pee or something and try to make a beer that tastes like that.
Donnie's pee.
Oh, yes, the Belgian name Donnie.
Oh, that's a nickname.
Oh, gotcha. So that's a man walking around.
All right, well, let's keep it in the drunken realm, shall we?
Why not? We're almost to Friday.
Two vultures in Connecticut were found drunk by an animal rescue group. This is coming from a place called Hope, their Facebook page. One of those animal rescue groups, obviously.
Okay.
The birds had apparently been dumpster diving and came across something fermented enough to cause severe intoxication. Rescuers determined the pair were too drunk to fly.
Sure.
So I had to take them somewhere so they could recoup.
Had to sleep it off.
Yep. They said they only needed fluids and to be tucked in overnight. And then, of course, fed a big breakfast the next day.
Got some carrion over
some
here.
Some hangover breakfast.
And they were released the next day. So a couple of vultures ended up in the drunk tank.
Why am I picturing just like a pair of beaky buzzards from Looney Tunes?
I think they're going to take us to the shelter.
I guess I'm going to be doing some dumpster diving later.
From time to time, we ask John to dive into the subreddit that is entitled, Am I the A-Hole? And you have something for us this morning, I take it?
Yeah, I've been saving this one for a little bit.
A scenario to share and get our take on this particular subject matter. So go right ahead.
I'm happy to say that usually we have some estrogen in our story. This one's all testosterone.
Okay.
So we should be experts on this. I, a 34-year-old male, am a private baseball coach and I give lessons for $100 an hour.
Mm.
My brother's son, a sophomore in high school, plays baseball and I always mark out a lesson slot for him on Sunday where I coach him at a 75% off rate.
So basically gives him $25 an hour.
Yeah, yeah. You know, family benefit.
So it's his nephew.
His nephew, yep.
Okay.
However, my brother won't stop feeding this kid whatever the hell he wants. He's not even incentivized. Kid wants a Big Mac or some chicken tenders, he door dashes it to the house, lickety-split. It's gotten to the point where the kid is severely overweight and has no future in baseball or even as an offensive lineman in football. He's not strong, just fat, sits around all day playing video games and hounding on Cheetos or whatever junk food my brother and his wife are letting him chow down on. At this point, I have no motivation to coach him. I'm losing money. The kid absolutely sucks. He has no future in any sport whatsoever.
I was, you know, I was almost on board with the guy for a while there.
He's blunt. He says, I'm losing money. The kid absolutely sucks. He has no future in any sport whatsoever unless he loses a lot of weight. I finally broke the news to my brother that I'm not coaching him at all until he gets back into shape, even if it was at full price, as I could be coaching a different kid who actually applies themselves and wants to be there. As a coach, my players are a reflection of me. I'm not going to continue coaching someone who is out of shape and doesn't care just for the money. I only want to coach dedicated players who at a minimum are in shape and won't make me look like some money-grabbing coach. While nothing is ever promised, no matter how hard you work, I've had several players go on to play in the next level, in the NCAA, all across every division.
Mm-hmm.
My brother didn't take it well.
I wonder why.
He said, it's not my kid, and it's not my choice what they feed him.
That much is true.
I told him that's fine. It's not his choice if I coach him or not.
That's also true.
He then tried pulling the family card and, quote, all that noise. And I simply told him flat out that it's for the best. And until Mr. Tubby can get to first base without me aging 5 years, then I'm not his coach.
How fast was I, coach? I don't know, kid. I don't have a sundial.
So am I the a-hole?
I like the cut of his jib.
He's a direct talker.
Yes, well, indeed.
You know what, though? you will find the best coaches that are out there are motivational, yes, but they will also call it as they see it.
Yeah, they're blunt.
Yeah.
And he definitely did.
Yeah.
Without me aging 5 years.
Shift gears, fat boy! Good Lord.
So is he the a-hole? Because I'll be honest, I am leaning toward yes.
What?
Really?
You're not just some random coach. You're family, you know?
So when is it that he's coaching the kid? It's like Sunday afternoons or something?
An hour every Sunday.
Okay.
At a discounted rate.
Yeah.
At a discounted rate. Right, right. The whole thing, I won't even coach him at full price.
Yeah.
Right, so...
He's put up with it long enough.
But you're a coach. The kid needs physical activity,
okay,
and you are an expert on physical activity.
Yeah, but here is the thing. I gather from his assessment of the kid, who says like a sophomore in high school?
Yeah,
what you said?
Yeah.
So he's...
10th grade.
16, 17 years old, maybe?
Angsty.
15, 16 years old. Okay.
You think he's got a toot on him?
Well, no. That the kid doesn't seem to really care whether he's being coached or not. He seems to be half-hearted at best.
Isn't that irrelevant, though?
You got to want to be coached.
No, not necessarily. Also, a piece that wasn't included in that, and I don't know whether it's even, it would be germane to the story. Does this coach have other players that are on a waiting list that he has not been able to get to because he's full up?
That sounds like the case.
It kind of does sound that
way. He sounds like he has a lucrative business here.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounds like, hey, you know what? I could be coaching somebody else at full price. That's someone who cares. That's the whole thing is if the kid doesn't care.
Yeah, I'm losing money on lard ass.
Whether he's out of shape, if he's not in shape, that's one thing. But
kids
if he has zero,
forced to do things that they don't want to do
okay.
all the time because it's good for them.
Well, that's fine. Find something else that's good for him that is not wasting somebody else's time and efforts.
Okay. Fair. Well, but it's family, man. It's
I
family.
Don't, that, well, guess what?
You're an uncle. You're supposed to be playing a positive role in the kid's life, not kicking him to the curb.
He's in high school now, okay? It's not like he's 8.
Oh, 15-year-olds are children, Tom. Give me a break.
Oh, 15-year-old, I'm out mowing the yard, putting myself to college.
Yeah, you're still a child.
Well, I'm just saying, encouragement, yes, but could he be more tactful? Perhaps. Probably undoubtedly.
But see, now you put a rift in the family, I guarantee you're going to see less of this kid and therefore have a less impactful role in his life. You might be one of the only people in his whole life who actually cares about physical fitness, and now you're driving a wedge between... I mean, in the long run, you're doing wrong by the kid.
How about you do something like this? It's a compromise. Okay, I'm not going to do a formal coaching lesson here, but we will do something else. As uncle and nephew, hey, we'll play catch. I'll throw some BP. It won't necessarily be a formalized coaching session, and it'll only be kind of, hey, as time allows me to be able to do this.
Okay, so just make an effort to be an uncle as opposed to be his coach at a discounted rate.
Yes.
Okay. But he didn't pitch that idea, Tom.
Well, I know. And in that respect, he might be a little bit of the a-hole here.
And don't get me wrong, the dad in this story, kind of an a-hole.
The dad in the story is more at fault, I think, than the uncle.
Enabling your kids to be unhealthy is not a good
call.
And
then being pissed off when the fact that you're tub of goo.
Yeah, somebody calls you out on it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're tub of goo.
doesn't care that his uncle is taking his valuable time and effort to try to help him. You should light a fire on your own kid's ass is what you should do.
What if we agree that everyone's terrible, including the kid?
I want some cheesy poofs.
I want some cheesy poofs.
I am kind of picturing McCartney.
Ma'am.
I just love the honesty. I mean, time is of the essence. You know, you got to tell Fatty Arbuckle. Look, life is full of disappointments, and you're one of them.
A recent poll out found that more than half of U.S. adults think Joe Biden's presidency has hurt the country on cost of living and immigration. The other half are illegal immigrants who are getting everything paid for by the government.
I was wondering, like, who are these people that are apparently not buying bread or eggs or cheese or gasoline?
They certainly ain't living in Mississippi, I can tell you that much. We got. Do you see this? We're like the third most expensive state to buy groceries in the entire country.
I blame Ben and Aaron.
I think that's adjusted for.
That's a hot take right there now.
Yep. Nobody else has the balls to say it.
I imagine.
Sorry, I did a wrestling commentary last night.
I was wondering. You got an edge
over.
To you.
Yeah, you're pleading over, yeah.
Playing heel to everything, I see. That's fine.
That's got to be adjusted, though, for income, right? Because, like, it's not Hawaii. We're not paying $7.50 for a gallon of milk. It's like adjusted for median income in relation to groceries, maybe?
Perhaps.
Because California is still California.
Well, I will say this. Our grocery tax here is amongst the highest in the country, too.
Taxes, I believe it, because that's just a straight percentage.
Probably. All I know is before that hometown show debuted, I could afford to eat.
He's not wrong. The correlation may be not exactly the best in the world, but he's not wrong in that.
Fixing it up, everything costs more. When it was dump, everything was cheap.
I will tell you this. If you live in Laurel and are thinking about selling your house, right now is the time to do it.
I need to get you a red hat that says, make Laurel a dump again.
Mulda.
So, anyway.
Mulata.
Better than half of the country thinks Biden's presidency has hurt the country on cost of living and immigration. Meanwhile, nearly half think Donald Trump's presidency hurt the country on voting rights and election security.
He didn't do that.
Relations with foreign countries, abortion laws, and climate change.
Our relations with foreign countries were awesome under Donald Trump.
Meanwhile, when asked which president did more to help people like them, roughly a third said Donald Trump. Only about a quarter said Joe Biden. And roughly 30% of adults said neither Biden nor Trump benefited them.
Just living in a hole? I'm a hole person.
Not buying anything?
Yeah, politics don't really get to the hole.
Yeah. Anyway, as I said, I find polls interesting. Oh, while we're talking about studies and such, a brand new study out reveals that wearing jeans, even just once, has a significant environmental impact.
So yeah, you already bought them, so wearing them once is irrelevant.
Yes, I guess so. It takes 5.5 pounds of carbon emissions to make a single pair of jeans.
Look at you over there, killing the earth with your britches.
Mm-hmm. The denim industry is projected to emit 2.8 billion tons of annual greenhouse gases by the year 2030. So buy your jeans now.
In all fairness, part of that is because the jeans are made in China, the second biggest polluter on Earth.
You know what? That's fair.
It's not like jeans are uniquely pollutative or whatever the word is. It's that they're made by people who don't care at all.
You think maybe that part of it is because it's denim, they're cotton? And so you're having to grow the fibers and then have to process the cotton into...
What are you talking about? Gene plant?
Yeah. Cotton. It's a gene plant. It makes genes. But it can't be any worse.
There's no cotton in jeans, isn't there?
Absolutely. That's what denim is. It's milled cotton.
It's like about 100% cotton.
It's like braided. They had spandex sometimes for the tubs.
Yeah, unless you get them stretchy jeans. But see, I have to call them the comfy jeans.
That can't be any worse than the oil drilling that goes into making everything made of plastic.
I know. I don't disagree.
Which, if you wear a polyester shirt, your shirt is plastic.
God, it's like you're damned if you do. It's like the whole argument about electric vehicles. Okay, we're not burning oil in the cars, but we're burning oil to make the everything else for the car. Oh, by the way, yes, we're tearing up the planet trying to find the materials that make the batteries, and we're probably causing almost as much pollution making the batteries as we do in the petroleum industry creating crude oil and refining gas.
Well, that and going green is not worth it if it hurts people, and it hurts people. End of story. It's not worth hurting people, okay? Green initiatives make poor countries poorer, makes them super poor.
It's just crazy that used to people would complain about the boots with the furs, but now they're complaining about the apple-bottom jeans. The whole ensemble's ruined.
Came across a listing of things here And guys, you should be paying attention to this list. I'll say if you were single, but if you're in a relationship even, married perhaps, got a significant other, casually dating, you're around women at all, you might want to pay heed to some of these. This is a listing of the 10 most annoying things women wish men would stop doing. Some of these will hit close to home, guys. You ready for the list?
I'm not sure that I am.
On this list of annoying things women wish men would stop doing.
Breathing.
In a bit of an upset, that is not on this list.
He meant mouth breathing.
Oh. Did you mean mouth breathing?
No, just breathing in general.
That's what I thought. Existing, right? No. On this list includes something like being non-communicative, or avoiding conversations about feelings.
Sorry. I'm not going to talk to you.
I'm the one that talks too much. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Another thing, and this is a communication topic as well. Women wish men would stop making inappropriate jokes and or comments.
That's what she said. Well, that ain't going to happen. So, buck up, Missy.
Yeah, if I get a laugh, then I'm... Come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go for the laugh every time.
All right. Here's another box.
We could be surrounded by death, and I'm still going to be cracking funnies.
That's how you deal with things.
Exactly. Huh? It's my coping mechanism. Piss off.
He's not avoiding the conversation about his feelings now.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. Ignoring housework and chores.
I am guilty of this from time to time. If there is something that needs to be fixed, but it's not emergency, sometimes I'll let it sit for a second.
I figured I'd leave it, and then eventually she'd get around to it. She'd get tired of seeing it and be like, oh, you don't do it.
I'll admit that's the thing that usually gets me to do it, is the concern that she might have to do it.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Oh, it just makes you feel very lacking in masculinity.
Well, you know what? She's got arms and legs. And they work, so use them.
Speaking of arms and legs, here's another annoying thing women wish men would stop doing. Focusing on physical appearance and objectifying women.
Oh, it's because she's ugly. Isn't it? Handsome woman.
I think there's a right and a wrong way to do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not wrong to notice that beauty exists in the world. It's wrong to objectify it.
Prioritizing careers over relationships. Listen, sweet cheeks, you want to eat and have a roof over your head?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, see, the thing of it is...
You're choosing your words carefully over there.
Well,
That's fine. I understand.
When the woman says, like, I would live in a wooden shack. I just want to be with you.
That is not true.
The guys never believe it, and the women actually mean it in a lot of cases. It's like one of those battle of the sexes things. Mars and Venus, you know?
Yeah. That's also kind of going back to the focusing on physical appearance thing, too.
And it's not been my experience that they were... Like being truthful in that regard.
I could live in a cardboard box as long as I was with you. And why are you complaining when I put you in the cage?
Jeez. Dr. Phil over here.
Offering unsolicited advice or mansplaining things.
Yeah, the life hack on this one is just ask the question. Are you venting or do you want me to fix it?
Mm-hmm.
I'll do either, but I just want to know.
Most of the time, they're just venting. I'm going to call it. My experience, 99% of the time, they're just venting.
Well, see, you've had more experience. This is the thing. You got a sense for your person.
Yeah.
Which comes with time.
Just sit down and shut up. That's the best thing you can do when she starts going on the rant. Sit down and shut up. Just nod your head. Oh, think about other things.
Wow. Think about other things.
Sure. Pretend like you're listening.
Don't pay attention is what you're saying.
It'll make it go by faster.
Okay. Wow.
It's a life hack, John. You'll learn.
Okay.
Needlessly aggressive driving is on this list of things that women wish men would stop doing. Not necessarily aggressive driving, but needlessly being aggressive, one behind the wheel.
Well, we got to get the Kohl's for the doorbusters.
We got this Kohl's cash that expires tomorrow. I will say, if you have a problem with this, you should probably work on it because it's not safe, you know. Mm.
Invading personal space.
Throwing farts.
When they said invading, they didn't mean militarily.
Talking over women.
Well, I'm taller than they are. Most of them.
Yeah. And the final thing on this, 10 annoying things women wish men would stop doing. Adjusting themselves in public.
All right, there are some hills I'm willing to die on.
Well, thanks to everybody who took part this morning, whether you called in, texted in, just checked in. Thank you so much. Even if you did something so simple as listened in. We appreciate you allowing us to be a part of your day. As we slide through this Friday Eve and head toward the weekend, kind of a busy weekend. Kind of in store. It always seems to be that way here, springtime in South Mississippi, does it not? Coming up beginning Friday and then running into Saturday is the Extra Table Farm to Fork weekend, which begins with a Criterium, an 8/10 of a mile closed course bike race through parts of downtown Hattiesburg. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow and some of the street closures, just kind of give you a little heads up. So that you don't be trying to go through Hattiesburg when this thing is going on and going, what in the hole? What's going on here? So you at least know. Also across the weekend, the softball season beginning to wind down. In fact, the Lady Eagles of Southern Miss entering their final homestand of the season. And they will be hosting Texas State at the Southern Miss Softball Complex Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. First pitch tomorrow evening at 6, then 2 on Saturday, 12 noon on Sunday. By the way, the baseball Golden Eagles are in Lafayette this weekend, for those of you who want to make the trip over to Southern Louisiana. Coming up as well on Saturday out at Lake Bogahoma, the bass tournament that we told you about earlier this week could get underway at 5 a.m. with a boat check-in. Weigh-in starts at 2:30. More details are on our website about this, as well as details about the YWCO Centennial Wide Day that is going on from 10 until 2 on Saturday. This is in downtown Laurel on West Oak Street as the Y celebrates 100 years. Again, details on this and all kinds of great stuff that's happening, not just this weekend, but in weeks to come across the Pine Belt and South Mississippi for that part, can be found at rock104fm.com. Go there, then click on the calendar tab that's on the top of the homepage. Let's see here. For Fly Brian Hicks and John DeMar, I'm Tom Colt. Grab your kids all up. Give them a big old hug. Tell them that you love them. You don't have yourself a great rest of your Friday Eve, Thursday. What? Because I didn't wish it. So God bless. We'll see you back here in the morning.
Trees are green. Red roses too. I see them blue.
More than I'll ever know, and I think carefully pet that butt.
The Rock 104 Morning Crew.